He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate in this church the feast of St. Barnabas the Apostle. And for those of you who are unaware, because I've had this question actually asked of me, Barnabas was the original patron saint of this parish. It wasn't always St. Anne's. It was actually once St. Barnabas, and we still have St. Barnabas Chapel off behind this main point, overlooking the swamp, actually, which is quite a lovely view in the morning when you're doing morning services. I'm not actually exaggerating. It's a beautiful service when we do it on Tuesday morning. But St. Barnabas is part of the DNA of this church and is still remembered, even though we still call ourselves St. Anne's. And I think that St. Barnabas is actually a very worthy saint to follow. And I want to point out this little passage that we have here, just how interesting a character that he is, and how we would all like to have a friend like Barnabas in our lives. And I mean that quite literally. And also, it would be best for us as people if we could all be a friend like Barnabas to those around us. So his nickname, Barnabas, the name that he's given is loosely translated to Son of Encouragement, which is really a bad translation, but that's what they kept calling him, the Son of Encouragement. And you can see how he's a son of encouragement, particularly in how he relates to Paul. So to give you a little bit of background here, right? Before we get to this point, we've met Barnabas twice before in the Acts of the Apostles narrative. The first time is when we first meet him, and he's given the nickname Son of Encouragement. He sells a field and gives it to the disciples, just puts it at their feet so that they can spread it among the poor. The second time we meet him is after Saul, who we also know as Paul, had his Damascus Road experience and repented of the way that he had treated the church, because Paul used to persecute the church. And so when Paul finds his way to Jerusalem, everyone in Jerusalem, all of the believers, all of those who follow Christ, including the disciples, are terrified of him. He was like a witch hunter. He was really a scary guy. And so Barnabas is the guy that walks over, kind of pretty much puts his arm around him and says, "Hey, have you met my friend Saul? He's changed. He's not the same man that he was." And that's sort of a fascinating thing, because that feeds into this story that we're reading today. It begins with those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Stephen, known as the first deacon and the first martyr of the church, was stoned to death in Jerusalem. And so these people that we're talking about in this story had scattered as a result of that. And at the stoning of Stephen, there was a fellow there by the name of Saul who looked on approvingly. That tells you a little bit about who Paul was before he had his vision of Christ on Damascus Road. He was a hard man. He actually remained a fairly hard and difficult man most of his life, but it was tempered by love. And I'd like to attribute some of that to his time spent with Barnabas. And so these people have scattered as a result of this persecution. They are afraid of remaining in Jerusalem, and some of them settle into Antioch. And so when all of these great things start happening in Antioch, the birth of a church there, the birth of a group of people who are following Jesus Christ, the disciples send someone to investigate. And who do they send? Barnabas. Good old trustworthy Barnabas. And so he goes, and he sees all of this great stuff happening, and he rejoices, and he exhorts them, right? That's a fancy word. He encourages them to remain faithful, to stay steadfast. Barnabas is a really great guy to have around because he supports everyone in what they're doing. Now, here's the thing. This is a very interesting instinct on Barnabas' part, because the very next thing, after it tells us that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and Luke, by the way, isn't usually so glowing with his reviews of people. Luke is the author of Acts of the Apostles. Barnabas is like the only guy he says that about. So again, Barnabas is someone that you would want as a friend. He was a good man, full of faith. He encourages people. He gives people second chances. And so right after that, it says, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Remember who Saul was. Saul was the guy who looked on approvingly when Stephen was martyred. These people had scattered as a result of the martyrdom of Stephen. These people had run as far away from Paul and his, Saul and his ilk as they possibly could. And Barnabas' first reaction is, let me go walk 300 miles to Tarsus and get Saul and bring him back to meet these people in Antioch. It's kind of wild, right? And yet, remember, Barnabas is the one who brings Paul, Saul, Paul, whatever, I'll call him either or, to the disciples and says, no, this is my friend Paul. You don't understand. He's seen Jesus. He is a changed man. And he does the same thing in Antioch with the people who had run because of people like Saul. And then for that entire year, they met with the church and taught in a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Can you imagine how awkward that must have been for Saul at first, though, right? It's like, no, Barnabas, I really shouldn't go there. I did kind of nod and smile when their friend got stoned. And he says, no, Paul, I know you're a different man. We're going to go down to Antioch together, and you're going to make some new friends. And that's exactly what happened. Don't you wish you had a friend like Barnabas? He's the guy that can give you encouragement when you need it. He's the person that can bridge the gap when you don't know how to tell people just how sorry you are for the things that you have done. He's just this wonderful guy. And that's why I say, like, Luke is very uncharacteristic in saying Barnabas was a good man. Because Luke doesn't really make that many qualifications about people, but he says it about Barnabas. And so my prayer for us, right, in hearing this story, because this is the man for whom our church was originally named. This is the man for whom we still have a chapel dedicated to. This is the man who we mention in our prayers at the Eucharist every Sunday. And this is the man whose feast day we celebrate every year in June. My prayer for us is that we would be, as a church, more like Barnabas. We've already got some of that going, right? We have a church where Barnabas is someone who is very generous, and this is a very generous church. I mean, firsthand, I have seen it. Barnabas was a man that was encouraging. This is a fairly encouraging church, right? We can be like the man who we originally named for. We can be like the man whose feast day we are going to celebrate this weekend at a big barbecue tomorrow. We can be like Barnabas, who built a community. He built multiple communities. And we do that every year, right? When we have our Barnabas Day celebration, that's also about building community. It's about bringing everyone here closer together, encouraging each other in our continuing journey of faith. It's about feeding everyone who comes to our doors, strangers and friends alike. We can be like Barnabas. We can be the good person, the person of faith, the person. We can be children of encouragement. And that's my prayer for us today, is that we would continue to mutually encourage each other in our journey of faith. My prayer for us is that we continue to be generous in our journey of faith. And my prayer for us is that we would, when we see people who are out on the margins, who would like nothing more than to come in, that we would be the ones who introduce everyone to these people and say, this is my friend. We should all hang out together. And that would make this church so much more like Barnabas. That would make this church a place that everyone wants to go to. And that's the type of community that Barnabas built in his day. So that's my prayer for us as we gather to remember our patron saint, Barnabas. In Jesus' name, amen. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Barnabas, who was the original patron saint of this church. Some people actually don't know that, so I'm going to share that just in case you're out of the loop. This church was originally named the Church of Saint Barnabas, and we still have a memory of that in Saint Barnabas Chapel over back there, and we also have a memory of that in Barnabas Day, which we celebrate every year. And I have to say, out of all the saints, Saint Barnabas is a pretty good patron saint to have. And he's also someone I would consider a very good friend to have. Barnabas is someone that you would want as a friend. Further, if you are a friend, Barnabas is someone that you'd like to be like for your friends. So to give you a little background on Barnabas, we first meet him in Acts many chapters ago, and when he meets the disciples, he sells a field that he owns and gives the proceeds to them to distribute among the poor. His name is Joseph, but they name him Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. That's not actually what it means. It's a really bad translation, but that's what they want you to take out of it, that he was a very encouraging man. And no more so than to a person that we know as Saint Paul. And so the next time we meet Barnabas in this narrative, Saul, who is not yet called Paul, has had his experience in Damascus Road. He's had the experience of the risen Lord and realized that he should no longer persecute the church, because that's what Saul did. He was one of the early people who persecuted the church. He was there at the martyring of Stephen, the first martyr of the church, and he looked on and approved of it. He was a hard man. And yet, he'd been brought low by God and realized that he was in the wrong. And so when he comes to Jerusalem after having this revelation, no one wants to talk to him, obviously, because he was the guy that was persecuting them. Barnabas is the guy who goes over and says, "This is my friend Saul. He's changed. He's not who you think he was. He's seen a vision of the Lord." And he pretty much introduces Paul, Saul Paul, and I'm going to use the names interchangeably, to the Jerusalem community. Now, this must have been, of course, very awkward for Saul, too, right? Because he knows, and he'll still apologize in his letters many years later. He's like, "I am the least of all the apostles. I persecuted the church." He knows what he did was wrong. And yet Barnabas is the one who says, "No, we're going to make this right. Because you stepped up, you admitted that you were wrong, and you're trying to do the right thing." That's who Barnabas is. And so that brings us to this story, okay? And so the scripture opens, "Those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch." So these are people who actually scattered after the persecution that began after Stephen. They left Jerusalem, and then they went and started little church communities in other places. They went as far away from people like Paul as they possibly could. Now, word of what's going on in these communities like Antioch reaches the disciples, and so they send their good buddy, Barnabas, to go check out what's going on. And he gets there, and he gets very excited. He sees what's going on. He sees this vibrant community of faith building up outside of Jerusalem, where the disciples are, and he gives glory to God for it, and he exhorts them all, that is encouraging them, right? Son of encouragement. He encourages them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." That's actually a glowing endorsement right there, because the person who's writing this, who we know as Saint Luke, he doesn't actually usually flesh out people in that way. He doesn't usually give them these glowing approvals. He doesn't tell you whether they're a good or bad person, but he makes a point to tell you that Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So if Barnabas stands out enough to Luke, then he should stand out to us. Now here's the really interesting thing, okay? After Barnabas is encouraging them, and he sees that this new life in the church is beginning in a place like in Antioch, that is outside the community in Jerusalem, that's this self-defined community that is carrying the name of Jesus with them, he decides it would be a good idea to travel 300 miles round trip to go get Paul from Tarsus. This is his decision. Do you remember why these people fled to Antioch? The persecution of Stephen, where Paul was, where he looked on approvingly. These people ran as far away from people like Paul as they possibly could get, and Barnabas' instinct is to go all the way to Tarsus, 300 mile round trip, Tarsus, Antioch to Tarsus and back, and bring Paul with him. What's up, Barnabas? These people were probably going, "Wait, this is probably not a good idea." But no, in typical Barnabas fashion, in the same way that he reconciled the disciples with Paul, who was their persecutor, Barnabas reconciles Saul with the people in Antioch. And it works. Barnabas and Saul stayed there for an entire year. And they built up the church. And at the end of their time there, the church, hearing the Holy Spirit saying to set apart Barnabas and Saul, the church, the gathered community, lays their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sends them forth into the world as missionaries. Can you see the reconciliation that has happened here? All because of a fun guy named Barnabas. He is a friend that you want in your life. He's the person who, when you're awkward at a party, will introduce you to his friends. He's the one who sees when things are broken in a relationship, but he knows that you've been making the steps needed to be a better person. He's the one who reintroduces you into the community. He's the one when he sees you struggling and trying and making things work, he's the one who encourages you in your endeavors. We could all use a friend like Barnabas, but more to the point, we could all be a friend like Barnabas. And he is the original patron saint of this church. We are remembering his feast day today. And I just want to ask us, because I think that this is a very generous and encouraging community. From the moment I got here, and my first visit here was at Barnabas Day 3 years ago. This is a very generous and encouraging community, which is in the spirit of Barnabas. But can we be more like Barnabas? Can we be more encouraging of each other in our lives, in our journey of faith? Can we be more inviting and welcoming, bringing people to events like this, right? Our mass on the grass and our barbecue, because everyone wants to come to a barbecue, right? Can we be more inviting and welcoming in that way? Can we be more generous? Can we be more forgiving? Can we bring those who have been cast out and bring them back into the fold? Can we as a church community be more like Barnabas? That is my prayer for us today, is that when we see people struggling, that we would encourage them. That when we see people who have been cast out and are trying to make their lives right again, that we would restore them to community. That when we see people who are poor and in need, that we would give freedom.